Big warm Calgary welcome.
I was in a little church we were building up on the Sunshine Coast, and I was doing the music in the place, and so I did this little theme on the river and all that sort of stuff, and I did it pretty well, even if I do so say myself. And we had this visiting evangelist, and as I'm going down, so I've got all the people into that, hey, we're going to worship God bit, you know where we used to be, and I've got them all saying, oh, the presence of the Lord. Oh, my, I'm falling under it and all of that. Gold is appearing and all weird stuff. But what am I saying? What am I talking about? Oh, yes. So she was a woman, an evangelist, and she's coming up under the platform, and it was a pretty good presentation. And as I'm going down, she's coming up and said, "How the hell am I supposed to follow that?" And I said, "Nothing." She was so ticked off because she thought I'd stolen her thunder, because the presence of the Lord had come in, and we had this big thing on the river, and it started there and it ended there, and she didn't like that one little bit. So I don't know why I told you that story. I got no idea. That's what I was going to say. How do I follow that? I mean, this guy just put your brains through a mincer. I know he did it for me. Thank you. Now I'm starting to get an idea of what. You know, at least none of you are asleep. You ever hear the Sunday school teacher said to the kid, "Why is it so important to be quiet in church?" And the kid says, "Because everyone's sleeping." But at least that's not a problem I've got here. I want to open like Mike did last night about the truth. This is the hardest thing for me to swallow, because I am so opinionated and I'm never wrong. You know what I'm saying? No push-up. I am trying to cut myself away from Facebook, because I have got opinions about things. And I've told Mike this for the last year and a half. I think I'm getting closer. But I'm telling you, I just got to see that stuff and I go, you idiot. So, this pursuit of the truth. You can have your own opinion, but you cannot have your own truth. You can have your own ideas and your own beliefs, but you cannot have your own truth, because truth, as Mike said last night, if it's not universal, it ain't truth. It's a happenstance, it's a very strong wind, it's what happened to me one day on the way to the Senate, but it ain't truth. It's just something that happened. So why do we pursue this? What is it in our DNA makeup, people like Derek, the mind mincer, people like Mike Williams, people like Jeff Robertson, people like myself, people like Vic and all of us here, what is it about us that so intrigues us with being here today? Well, I can only tell you for me that I was born under a dispensationalist pew. A fundamental evangelical dispensation. It was much like the Church of Christ, but without anyone called an elder. We just had several elders, and we just kind of happened. But you didn't want to think differently, because if you were, you know, you may find God outside of our fellowship, but it's not really likely. I mean, but those Baptists, they play cards, you know. Some of them even been known to drink a bottle of wine. And, I mean, they're the best of the bad crowd. After that, you go to the Methodists and the Presbyterians, and God forbid the Catholics. So, why do we do it? Well, we're going to look at that today. Today, I wanted to address the thought of priorities as a result of our prototypes. Prototypes and priorities. Who was our first prototype in humanity? Who was humanity's first prototype? Adam. You know, every time they build a new car, what they do is they make a prototype. And that prototype, it's almost a handcrafted vehicle, because they change a bit here and they drill a bit off there and they add a light and they, no, those lights aren't any good. Let's redesign the rear end. And they may have even only make two or three, maybe even only one prototype. And if you can get your hands on a prototype of any production run of any vehicles, you probably got big money on your hands. But a prototype is what we produce in order to see what the finished product's going to be. And Adam was our prototype. Well, when I say was, up until when Jesus became our new prototype. Thank Christ. And I mean, thank Christ. Jesus became and the Bible has different terminology. He's the last Adam. He is the second man. These two terms are used around the place in the Bible if you notice. But he was the last Adam. The first Adam was there. The last Adam. There ain't no more Adams. We're it. There's no more Adams coming, because the last one already was the last one. Isn't that cute? Yeah. I mean, I just think that's cute. So let's have a look at a couple of differences between these prototypes. Under the first prototype, he was a living soul, according to Paul. The second prototype, steal my thunder, will you, mate? The second prototype was a quickening spirit. Now, the first one was a quickened soul, or a living soul. He had soul life breathed into him. The same kind of soul life as when Jesus was in the room and with his disciples after his resurrection, and it says he breathed on them. In the Hebrew, he ruached on them. The breath of God, the very breath of the universal spirit, the breath of the universe filled Adam. And he became a living soul. Jesus was a quickening spirit. He wasn't a living spirit. No, he got to quicken other people. He was a quickening spirit, not a quickened spirit like Adam was. First difference. Second difference. The first Adam was made in the image of God. He was the image of God. You are not the image of God, not even remotely, because you and I are the substance of God. The substance of God. You know, the Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Think about that. When God wanted to describe, what is my righteousness like? How will I say my righteousness is like, so people, humans can understand it? I know what I'll say. I'll say, you are my righteousness. You are my righteousness in Christ. You are the definition of God's righteousness. My brain's gone. Someone just planted a circus in my brain. Oh, all right. That's it. I hope you took notes, and we'll see you. Oh boy. Okay. Another difference between the two, the old creation, the new creation, the first Adam and the last Adam. Another difference between these two prototypes is, one prototype, I don't care if you want to say led us into, allowed us into, permitted us into, but put us in bondage. Yeah. Universal bondage. Second prototype put us into universal freedom, bondage and freedom. And the last one, and these aren't, I mean, this is by no means exhaustive in comparisons, but the last one is, instead of children, now we're adults. Mike has a real, yes, son, somebody said. You know, the Bible of Paul, I don't know whether Paul is evolving his thinking here or he's actually enunciating his understanding of what happened, but he says we went from children, and then we went from there under Jesus. Jesus said, now I call you my friends, no longer my servants. So now there's children, servants, friends, and Paul says you're sons or you're adults. Under the Roman law at the time, adults. Guess what an adult gets to do that a child doesn't? Drink. Thank heavens. I've got someone still awake here. Later. Downstairs at lunch. You know that old joke, you know, that Muslims don't recognize Jesus as a savior, and
And Catholics don't recognise Protestants as legitimate, and Baptists don't recognise anyone else in the liquor store. You know?
So there is this progression, dare I say, and you need to get hold of the Powercasts and the teachings where Mike has taught on this from servants, friends, and he makes it really, he got through to me on something that I didn't get, because I saw this children to servants, to friends, to adults, and I was never able to join the dots. Twister! I was never able to join the dots. By the way, before we get too far, I want to let you know that tonight you're going to be hearing Mike teach on the last trump, and Derek, I believe, will be with Mike there tonight, so don't be back late from dinner. Tomorrow morning, Mike Williams, again, is going to be wrapping things up, and really, this stuff that he's unearthed is, he's preached on this before, he's taught on this before, but A, it never really got to be widely publicised, and B, he has grown, as we all do, in his understanding of this. So you're going to be in for some really good first-up stuff. And tomorrow afternoon, I have no idea what Beres Bartlett's talking about, but apparently he's going to be opening his mouth and wagging his head. Let me ask you, why do you think that people like Derek and Mike gain these incredible insights into the gospel?
They're interested.
Sorry?
Because they're interested.
Yeah. I started off to tell you I was born under a pew. And that's kind of why I'm intrigued by it, because I see so many more people in Christianity. And, you know, I was saying to Derek on the phone, even if I became an agnostic for whatever reason, I can't see that happening, but let's say I did, I would still stay with the GR. Now, I wouldn't tell Mike when it happened. You know, he wouldn't know. He'd just think I was, you know, saying the right stuff and that. But the reason I'd stay is because the gospel revolution stands in a place between light and dark. It stands in a place between Christianity and freedom. And there are many more people to be freed. We all know that. Don't worry about your rabbit trails, Derek. Mate, it's all I've got. If it wasn't for rabbit trails, I'd have nothing to share. It's because, where do we get these insights from? It's because we are fixated on the gospel. It's because we brood over the gospel. It's because we have an obsessive, compulsive disorder over the gospel. And yet it's not a disorder. Instead of bringing us into disorder, it brings us into order. Yeah. How good is that? All our ducks are lined up, and sometimes we don't even know. We've got to actually open our eyes and see it. And sometimes it's not until a year later we say, oh my gosh, I would never have thunk that a year ago. But here I am thunking it. Good Lord, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from you and God being one, and you having the mind of the Almighty, you having the mind of Christ, as Paul says. Imagine that. I wonder how much he has to limit himself in my brain so that I just don't explode and hemorrhage all over the place. I have no idea. We have finally come into order. This thing up on the wall here is where we came from. You want disorder? Left hand on the blue square, right foot on the yellow dot and whatever. That is disorder. Talk about disorder. How many people here listen to the Powercasts? Okay. I encourage everyone to. Last week it was called Twister. What? How did Jeff call it? Twister, the game Christianity plays or something? Anyway, and we talked again about Twister and the ungodly, incredible, mindless, moronic way that we tried to put dots together to make up a belief system. And apparently it's pretty easy, because there's multiple thousands of belief systems out there doing this. All, by the way, claiming the same Holy Spirit took them into these divergent places. Have you ever wondered about that? I wonder about that. Am I the only guy that goes to bed wondering about this stuff? What the gospel does,
And why I encourage everyone to listen to the Powercast and or Gospel Revolution Radio, just go to gospelrevolution.com, hit the radio link on the top of the page, and you've got 24/7 gospel. But the reason we do it is because of something called spaced repetitious learning. That is something that trainers teach people. If you listen to something once, you say, oh, get out of here. What a heap of tripe. And the second time you listen, you say, well, And the third time you say, well, he does have some kind of good points. By the time you've listened to it six times through, you're saying, well, I never ever thought any different. It's always what I thought. And somehow you're absorbing and assimilating and changing from the inside out. That's the only way the gospel will touch you. It won't touch you from the outside in. It'll always touch you from the inside out. And here's the other thing about the gospel. You can never unring that bell. Have you noticed? You can never unring that bell. Talk about going back to the leeks of Egypt. Mate, I'd much rather have the pizza of freedom than the leeks of Egypt. What scientists have discovered is that we have things up here called neural networks. And neural networks, I mean, the Bible is quite right. The scriptures say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's what scientists have proved. They've proven that... We can spend time on this in another session, but they've proven that as you start to rethink things, your brain will automatically drop some filters and bring in some new filters. And the filter that the Gospel Revolution would place on every single Gospel Revolutionary would be, think for yourself. Not necessarily by yourself, but think for yourself. And once we learn to do that, we can't unring half the bells that we hear. Isn't that right, family? I love it. The name for this in the Gospel Revolution, we call it the CPR of the Gospel. The consistent, persistent, repetitive. I promise it's only water. It's not till lunchtime that you... The consistent, persistent repetitiveness of the gospel. There is something, dare I say, magic that happens in us. Derek, now you listened to Derek this morning. How many Powercasts going from day one have you not listened to, Derek? He probably, and I know that he has listened to a lot of the teachings. So, I forget the point I was going to make. But that's a good CPR. Thank you, CPR. That's how it works. It changes us from the inside out because what it does is it opens up little bits in us. God's there. God and I are one. It opens up and takes away a little bit of a lens that is a bit grubby, and suddenly I see God in there. Suddenly I understand something I never understood before. You want to know how the Holy Spirit works? You hear Michael say, the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. Oh, yeah, he is, but he's also the great lens cleaner. He cleanses my lenses for me. I mean, and that's where these insights come from. So I just wanted to talk about the mind of Christ and how we develop. The last trump, I think I was talking with Mike. I can't remember where I wrote this down from. I've been writing down little lines for the last couple of weeks. I've known I'm going to be here, and I just kept throwing thoughts out. I spoke to a dozen people. Just ask them questions, and some of the answers will surprise you. It'll come up later. But I just... And this morning and yesterday, I just were putting these thoughts in order and seeing how I could best present myself as a reasonably intelligent person. That's about all. As presentable. There you go. The last trump means that there is nothing left to tell you what to do. Now, I copied this from something Mike said somewhere. I don't even know where he said it. No trumpets, no law, no belief requirements. There were no, and then he made the point, I think this was the last Powercast, Mike, there were no belief requirements before the cross. Think about that. And there's none after the cross. A Jew didn't have to believe that the sacrifice would be right. He just had to sacrifice. There were no belief requirements. You're going to be hearing Derek, I think, if I'm right, you're going to be addressing on the topic of the bondage of belief. So I just thought, seeing you stole some of my thunder, I'll steal some of yours. If belief, and how long did it take Christianity to bugger the whole thing up? I mean, it didn't take him but a few years. Before the end of the New Testament was finished, Paul is already saying there are people out there with a different gospel. Then we read Peter, John and James and we say, well, that ain't too hard to see the different gospel. James a jerk, I mean.
Antichrist was there right then, Jenny. Absolutely. I mean, from day one. If belief was so darned important, how, if it wasn't important, like I say, how come Jesus made such a big deal out of it? Well, the answer is he didn't. The people did. It was the people who said, oh, we want law, we want law. And we know that because when Moses came down from the mountain, they say, this shall be unto us our righteousness. What Derek was saying, what has been done away with is our righteousness, our self-righteousness. We are now free from self-righteousness. But they wanted that. Oh, God, we want a king. Please give us a king like everyone else has. They wanted a king. God says, not a great idea. Forget it. We want a king. Did they want to be like God? No, they wanted to be like the other nations. That's what they wanted to be like. It doesn't matter what you look at. They wanted to set up their own self-righteousness rules and regulations, of which belief was one. Why did Jesus make a big deal out of belief? Because the people did. It was the Sadducees, it was the Pharisees, it was the religious rulers, and they were all saying, do this, do that, one, two, four. Good, that's all in order. Good, you're right for another week. Exactly what the priest does in the Catholic Church with confession, exactly the same. No difference. So there's something in us that wants these rules and regulations. I'm not going to say where it comes from, I just know it's there. It seems that we feel more comfortable. Now, I understand that in culture and society, we need certain rules. If I don't know which side of the road to drive on, I could be in Australia or America. But if I drive on the wrong side, I'm going to kill someone. I don't even have to be drunk. I'm going to kill someone. That's just simple. So there's a place for rules and regulations and societal or cultural norms. There's a place for that. But not anywhere in the place that makes God happy with us. Nowhere. All right. How does this new creation play out in new life? In everyday life? I'm going to tell you how I... Because, see, here is the thing. I've spoken to so many people, and the one thing was consistent. I can't tell you what is the right thing to do now. Mike won't tell you what is the right thing to do now. We knew what to do under the first prototype. Under the second prototype, we know, hey, wake up. We...
Amen.
Oh, there. You all missed a great chance to say amen if you... under the second prototype, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Back to the human doings instead of human beings. What are we supposed to do? Well, Mike says nothing. No, he's not going to tell you. I am going to tell you what you should do. This is the second conference where I've disagreed with Mike so vehemently that I'm sure anyway, it doesn't matter. Sir, isn't that something? What does an observer do?
I know. Observe.
All right. We've got one person awake here. Who was giving out? Who's handing out the push-ups, by the way? I want to know. I couldn't see. No one's handing out push-ups because I want to know what it's for. I want to know how many I've got to do. James Gustafson is making the point, I'm just saying this for the tape, that we can learn a lot by observing ourselves and other people. When I say, I wouldn't have done that 6 months ago, I wouldn't have thought that 6 months ago, that's what I'm meaning. Just by observing myself and recognizing the differences that this whole changed outlook brings on my life. I'll show you, all I'm going to tell you is what I do, okay? How I live my life. I have something called a peace playlist. You can do it on Spotify, Pandora, you can make your own up on your computer, you can make your own up with records, if you're old-fashioned records or CDs if you want, and burn your own CD. But my peace playlist is that which centers and grounds me. Sometimes I just get mad, particularly when I see things like Facebook and other things. I just get I get short-tempered at times. And Laura came up from her bedroom the other day and she said, I can tell you've been playing your peace playlist. This place is, the atmosphere is really quiet. It's just so gentle. And she was right, I had been. I'm going to just share with you the techniques I use. These are not techniques I would ever tell you that you have to use, but I'm just going to, and maybe what they'll do is they'll give you They might bump a thought or something like that. I saw in the plane on the way down here a guy, and he said, it was a T-shirt that said, "This shirt feeds orphans." That's something else I do. I work with homeless people. And at the moment I'm working not with orphans, but I'm working with an organisation that works with orphans. Because I think, how can I be God in the earth? I know how I can be God in the earth. I can have the mind of Christ, that means for me peace. And I can give something of myself into, and this has nothing to do with the gospel revolution. I also give into the gospel revolution. That's a different thing again. But these are just little things I do, and these are not me saying, if you don't do them, you don't have the mind of Christ. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because at the end, there'll be two things that I'm going to tell you that three things that we really need to do. One is to rest. The other is to love. And the third is to keep the CPR of the gospel in our hearts, in our heads. That's it. But I'm going to build up to that because I like a good build up. The biggest question we get asked in the gospel revolution, and this is priorities. Prototypes, that was simple to cover. These are our priorities under the gospel. These are our priorities under the new creation or in the new creation or as one with God. Biggest question we ever get asked is, what do I do now? And here is a statement we often get told. We miss the fellowship. Going to church is fun. As long as you know what all's going down, there's good music, sometimes there's a real rev up from the platform if it's a half-decent kind of speaker. Most pastors aren't good speakers, but if it's a half-decent kind of speaker, he'll send you out feeling like you can face Monday again. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. But I say to people, find other people like yourselves, and if you can't find them, make them. This Muslim cab driver drove me here last night. We had the best conversation, and I kept using his language. I said to him at one stage, he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I used to be a Christian minister, but now I don't know what to call myself. I'm going to a conference where we're going to talk about how God, how Allah lives in every one of us." He went, he said, "Allah." He didn't say that out loud, but I knew what he was thinking. And we get to the front of the hotel, and he says, "Look, here's my name, and here's my private cell number. Call me anytime you want." Guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to call him. I made a friend. Heck, my job is not to convince anyone of the truth. That's not my job. If it's anyone's job, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not mine. My job is to love them. Yeah? My job is to rest back in Jesus and love them. And they're going to say, "I don't know what kind of Christian church he goes to, but the mosque, they didn't tell me they were like that." No, they didn't tell you they were like that, because we're not Christians. Have you, and I'm still talking about just how I do it, okay, and then we're going to get into some other stuff. How many people here know what, you've got a monkey brain. The monkey brain is this. That ever-speaking, never-silent voice that is always rattling around in your head. You go to bed, voice, monkey brain, beep, 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 beep. "You should have done this better. I could have done that better. I didn't have to say that. I could have..." It never stops. How many people don't have that condition? Leslie, you got a question? I told you I was going to do that to you. Here's how I stop it. Now, it's not 100%, it is 100% successful, but it doesn't last for long. But it helps center and ground me. And I read this off some organization. I thought, can't be that simple. When my mind is going a million miles an hour and it's not an asset to me because it's so, and I was diagnosed ADD, so you might say, well, the man has got a mental condition, and you wouldn't be wrong. But regardless of whether you believe in ADD or not, the symptoms of... my brain never stops talking to me, that ever-speaking, never-silent voice. And I shut myself down, I shut my eyes, I take deep breaths in and out, three or four, and I say, monkey brain, you listen to my breaths. Listen real carefully to my breaths. at the end of it, it shuts up. I don't know why it works. It just is something I picked up along the way. I'm just saying how I get into rest and how I do these things. Now, that was just a couple of instances. I want to bless Moses Garter. So, you know I love colour. I mean, I don't care if I wear clothes, but I do want a lot of colour because I just love colour. Have you ever seen those caftans, those African caftans? So I messaged Moses and I said, Moses, how much for a caftan? Showed him a picture of what I wanted. He said, oh, X dollars. I said, no, make it so you got some, you know, nice profit in it. How much then? And he told me that price. That's what I'm sending him. He's sending me a caftan. I'm going to be the luckiest man in all white Cullman, Alabama, let me tell you. They ain't going to know what hit them down there. They already don't. I go to my local hardware store a mile and a half from my house, and it has a little sign. Eva Postal Agency. I forget how it was something so quaint. I mean, it's like Uncle Herman's taxidermy bar and grill and so, you know, it's just a gorgeous place to live. But I might shake their world up with a caftan, I reckon. Here is something that I think of often. If you are the smartest person in your circle of friends, you probably need a new circle of friends. Think about that again. If you are the smartest person in your circle of friends, you probably need a new circle of friends. Now, I'm not talking about the people that... the people I'm talking about is I love getting a phone call from Derek. I love doing the PowerCast with Mike. I love when Jeff Robertson says, that's not right. It makes me think. I listen to people that are strong and staunch Christians. R.C. Sproul being one of them. A Calvinist extreme. People like Chuck Norris. People who make me think. I want my brain to think. Their conclusions don't bother me. But the fertilization of the conversation is really important to me because it gives me life. It just gives me life. Now, I'm not saying that when I take that last one with a grain of salt, if you're not the smartest person or if you are the smartest person, the next thing I do is I listen to my heart. Is your heart trustworthy or is it really deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Which one is it? Why is it trustworthy? It's trustworthy because... Sorry, you are God's, and even more than that, you, because I want to break that, the connotational baggage that comes with that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yawn. I heard it so often, it doesn't mean that much, but I am God's idea of righteousness. God uses me as a picture of righteousness. In God's dictionary, when it says righteousness, there's a picture of you right there. Doesn't need words, does it? Because God says, see, that's what my righteousness looks like. Oh, phew. I don't know what we did then, but anyway. How does that work out in real life? Well, when I left my home at 1:30 your time yesterday morning, I fell down the front stairs. I didn't want to put the light on because Laura's bedroom's right there and the porch light's here. I fell down, dropped out a little dongle that goes into my computer that makes me be able to use a mouse instead of have to use a touchpad. Hurt this hip, hurt that knee, and dropped my computer. If I didn't have a solid state hard drive in my computer, the thing would be dead. Anything I wanted to present here would have been gone, which is nothing new. You remember last time I was here, right? Oh, yeah, story of my life. I got on the plane. The plane flights were all over the place, not the ones I wanted. No one's fault. Life happens. Life just happens. And there it is. It's I'm running hither and to in cattle class. I hate cattle class. You know, down there, it's just like a bunch of pigs on a truck on the way to the meat market. Really, it is. I mean, I'm pretending that I'm too good now and too old to want to put up with that crap anymore. So I upgraded. It cost me money, but that's okay because I arrived here at peace. And I don't want to tempt myself. You know, if I try and make my way through the cattle class all the time, I might not have my peace playlist. And I might get out there. I mean, last time I got off in Nashville, I'm telling you right now, this guy brushed past. I'm in Hong Kong on one occasion. And these Chinese people, on the way home, it was from the new colonies back to Hong Kong. And I'd gone into China, and then I was coming out of China. And this guy on the train from Tsim Sha Tsui to Hong Kong City, he's selling, you know, little edibles. And over the shoulder, and and he brushed that darn basket across my face, and I just went. He came around with a cleaver like this. I mean, it was a beautiful ballerina. I mean, the whole thing was a dance motion. It was gorgeous, except for the bloody cleaver. And the other Chinese people in there said in Chinese to him, "Careful, that's our tourist dollars. You shouldn't do it, it'll make..." Whatever they said, he calmed down and shot through, and I just pretended that I was looking at my shoes or something, you know. I couldn't... Because there's a part of me, the monkey part of me, I suppose. I mean, when I got home to Nashville, the last time I was here, this guy brushed past me just like that guy. I wish I could tell you I was grace-filled. I wasn't. And I was thoroughly... I was just astounded at some of the stuff in me that still comes out. I don't know how else to tell you, but I'm just going to tell you, life happens and we need to be prepared. Last night. So all of that stuff happens down in the pig palace, in cattle class. But I got here in peace. Had a beautiful conversation with the taxi driver. Came in here last night and slept through Michael. Didn't hear a word he said. Said to myself, before I embarrass, I'm sitting in church one day as a young fella. I'm maybe 17, 18. And in our church, there was all of the... They were all facing each other because we don't have a minister. It's very central. The people sit around and there's a bread and the wine and we all... someone gives a hymn, someone... Not a woman, of course. Someone gives a hymn, someone gives a word, someone brings a reading. And that's what it's like. And I fell asleep. And it was a wooden pew on a wooden floor with no felt on the bottom. That means it goes... It's between someone singing a hymn and someone... offering a prayer, and the whole church goes... I don't know why I told you that story either. But last night, rather than let that happen, I went to the room. I crashed, and then I woke up at 4 this morning thoroughly refreshed, only to find that I had a tick on me. Are you starting to get yet that this has not been my happiest trip? I got a tick on me. I'm going, where'd that come from? The plane, the cab, the... The bed? Well, I knew it was a tick as I scratched it off. I thought it was a scab. Scratched it off, and this scab had legs. And if I wasn't a country boy, I wouldn't have even known it was a tick. I had to have been. Had to have been. I gave him a quick baptism. Yeah, he's still talking in tongues. Cheap Christianity. No, let me just... I was going to say cheap religion. Christianity teaches us how to live contentedly in a world that is sick. Let me just say that again. Now, I'm not saying that people are sick. I'm just saying that this is a... Yeah, you don't have to look around much to know it's a mixed-up world. It's sometimes an unsafe place to be. We don't know what we've got. But Christianity taught me to live comfortable in that. I don't want to live comfortably anymore. I want to live... knowing that it's God and me. I'm not going to say all that crap we used to say. God and I are a majority. No, you're not. You're just God and you. You're not a majority. You're God and you. You're a new creation. You are the righteousness of Christ. I mean, you're many great things, but you're not a majority. If you're a majority, you could pick the next prime minister. No political cheap talk there. Belief is bondage. Yeah, I'm going there. Belief is bondage. And how long did it take Christianity to bugger it all up? Have you ever heard this term, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Have you ever heard that? That's a piece of crap that's promulgated by people who cannot answer this question. How come there are so many multiple thousands of Christian denominations who are in entirely divergent places and all saying this? The Holy Spirit, the one Holy Spirit, the only Holy Spirit brought us to this place. They can't answer that. So what they do instead is make up these sayings. Sayings which are meant to, I don't know, massage my brain. I'll tell you what it is. Yeah. It's a game of Twister is what it is. No more stories. I've got to get through this. Bondage is slavery. And slavery, what is the opposite of slavery?
Freedom.
I'm asking you a trick question now that half of you have answered it. Freedom. Dang, I want to have lunch with you. Freedom is not the opposite of slavery. Mastery is the opposite of slavery. Think about that. And the new creation wasn't created or thought of or a dream in God's eternal mind for us to be masters of anyone. Anyone. You aren't even master of yourself. You know that. It simply took slavery away. Freedom is the absence of belief. If you are slaves to anything, it's to righteousness. Because you had no say in being made righteous. I mean, how hot is that?
Yeah.
Jesus, Paul says, led captivity captive. Under freedom, we're governed more by consequences than by choices. Under in religion, your choice not to be a drinker, not to be a smoker, your choice to accept Jesus into your heart, that is what makes you, that's what drives you. But under the new creation, yes, Derek. Yes, compared with choices. I'm not governed by my choices anymore. My heart, I'm led by my heart. It tells me, it'll guide me as to what choices I'm going to make. But it's not, I'm not, choosing to do right does not make me right. I do right because the consequences of doing right is not too bad an idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me there. I never object to, because sometimes I've written this stuff down. I think I'm really smart. And only to discover the people are looking back there like a, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, ma, huh? Yeah. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. I love what Mike said in a recent PowerCast. He said it wasn't for religion. It's not for a belief system. It's not so that you can be right. It's not so that you can tell people what to do, how to act, what to believe. Freedom. It was for freedom. And that includes a freedom not to believe anything. And it includes a freedom to say the gospel revolution are a bunch of nuts. I'm going this other way. That's how free it is to be free. Christ had no other agenda than to set us free. No other agenda. I'm amazed with it. It wasn't until I got to America that I heard this. You know, someone said to me, "What's your agenda?" I said, "What do you mean, what's my agenda? Oh, about 12 o'clock, I'm going to have lunch and I'll go probably to the bathroom and then I'm going to go home, drive back and say good day to the Lord." He said, No. What's your agenda?" I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." But he thought I was there to try and agendarize something, I guess. But now I understand what folks mean by that. But Christ had no other agenda. No other agenda than to lock us into the new creation. And what we're talking about today is prototypes and priorities. And God told us through the prophets what the results would be, but he totally and unbelievably well hid his plan. Totally hid it. I mean, and here we are free. Now, how many people here did not spend a lot of time in church at one time or another? No. How many people here were raised without any church? You're a Calvinist dispensationalist, I think. I mean, if there could be such a thing. Oh, you were not raised in church, were you, Derek? I was just, it took, see, I told you I was dumb. Now you've seen it. worked out in life right in front of your faces. Let me tell you about, one day I went to buy some chickens. This is back home in Sydney. So I told you no more stories, but I'm just a liar. That's like I used to say to I had meetings of homeless people. I'd say, how many people here are liars? Told a lie in the last week. All their hands would go up. And then I'd say, how many people here are adulterous murderers? No hands would go up. And I'd say, but you already just told me you're a liar. But it's the truth, isn't it? Oh, well, I bought these chickens, and I wanted to get some egg layers. Now, if you go, battery chickens lay an egg a day. If you get a good chicken, it's an egg a day, sometimes even actually more with some breeds. But anyway, I went to this battery chicken place because I'd been reading some, I don't know, something, and I just thought that would be good. So I went there, got some chickens. They got their little beaks clipped about here. I mean, they can hardly grasp a piece of grass, but that's so they don't peck each other, or peck the eggs for that matter. So anyway, I get them home, and I got the pen, I got everything there, and I let them out of the cages on the back grass. You should have seen it. History Channel got nothing to compare. These little rascals went for a very long time. And then they went for just as long. And then they stuck their head down and smelt the dirt for just as long. I mean, it was a half an hour of pure delight seeing these battery hens on grass for the first time. How would it be? Remember a conference a couple of years ago where there was a girl there and she said, my father wouldn't even let me near a church. Wouldn't let me go to a youth camp, nothing. And we had right there, and right over here was another girl, and she'd been brought up in the Hutterite Brethren, in the Hutterite community, and she said, she looked at her and she said, I'm so jealous. I can hardly believe what it's like. Free. If we're going to leave this conference knowing that the last trump has meant the end of everything that was a bondage on us. If we're going to leave here like that, I hope that as you head home, you have a moment of, you know, one of those aha moments? I hope you don't drive off the road, but I hope you get this sensation, I'm free. My God, I'm free. What do I do next? Anything you want. How's that? But let me tell you where I'd start. And I know that you guys are way past this. You guys aren't beginners. You guys are veterans at this. But I'm going to tell you where I'm going to recommend that you start. You know, Paul said, put on Christ. What he meant was this. And this afternoon, I know that I don't teach like Michael, but this afternoon I'm going to surprise the heck out of you all, and I'm going to teach in context to a whole chapter. You don't want to miss that. Ring your friends up and get them here. Because this is a once-er. I'm telling you. Paul says, put on Christ. In other words, what Paul's saying is this. It's all done. The job's completed. What Jesus said, it is finished. He knew what he was talking about. Everything's done. Now put him on. Now put on Christ. How do I put on Christ? It is for freedom that you have been set free. Be free. Be free. I wish I had some manipulative power to say more people should be here today. I don't. Because we stripped ourselves. Michael has stripped the gospel revolution of any of the power of cheap manipulation. I'm just going to leave that. I want to tell you this. If our inner space, now we are spirit, soul and body, that's the easiest way that we found of describing the human construct. And we say, you know, the body, they're all intertwinable. They're all quite separable. But the soul, we say, is your mind, will and emotions, that which helps me navigate my outer space. That which helps me navigate my inner space is my spirit. My spirit, which is one with God, so much so, like when you put the tea into the teapot, you cannot separate them again. You're one. That means you don't know whether that last thought you had was God or you. Were you saying he shouldn't be wearing those suspenders? That was not God. That was not God. Oh, that's God. Until and unless
our inner space finds peace. And that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, peace. Until and unless your inner space finds peace, your outer space will forever be constrained, corrupted, and curtailed. What are our priorities under the new covenant? In this new life that we share, what are our priorities? I spoke to so many people, and they all said the same thing. It just happened. Life just happened. And now Barry Laney said to me the other day, I said, tell me how this happened. And Barry's a gospel revolutionary for 20 years, I suppose, 10 years anyway. And he, and he said, I just started feeding orphans in the Philippines. I found someone in the Philippines who I trust, and I send them the cash straight to their pocket. It just happened. I said, I had this conversation with Michael, and Michael said, I can't tell you or anyone else what to do. I don't know what to do. I've spoken to a number of people about this, and I get the same response. Can't tell you. Life just happened. Is there any rudder that I can extend into the water that will straighten my course and shorten my distance between here and that kind of freedom? I believe there is. I'm just skipping some stuff here. The power, I've just written here, the power resides, when you ask yourself, what can I do now? The power resides not in the answer, but in the freedom to be able to ask that question. That's where the power resides. Mike taught on response ability. The ability to respond. That's freedom. When I hear my heart, when I follow my heart, when I listen to the God. And, you know, there's almost no way that we can talk about God in us without sounding dualistic. It's because we don't have the language for, I'm a new creation. I am God and me. I am a new creation. We don't even have the language for it. And I don't even know the language without reverting to my old Christianese that will help us to understand what that is. I don't know. I don't have it. We must find that language out for each for ourselves. There are two things that I believe we are response able. We are able to respond to. We are able to respond with. One is rest. If you are going to labor, Hebrews says, labor to enter into his
rest.
What's his rest look like? You. You look like his rest. I look like his rest. I'm where he made his home. We only make our home where we want to rest. If I'm going to labor to enter into his rest. If you're going to do anything, put down your Bible for a year. If you got to do that, do it. Stop going to church if you have to do that. Go to church if that's what you got to do to be able to rest. But rest. Knowing it's a finished work. It's a done deal. It ain't ever going to need anything from you to perfect it. It is a teleos in the Greek, complete. You are teleos. You are complete. There is nothing more and nothing that's ever liable. You, tell us that again, Derek. I'm unqualified. I'm unqualified to be a sinner. I'm completely unqualified. In the new creation, I am completely unqualified to be a sinner. The other response ability is love. You don't have to tell people they're wrong. Somehow that cab driver saw I loved him. I don't know what it was in what I said that gave, you know, tipped him off. The Chinese lady to whom Derek was speaking in the plane when he was supposed to be doing his homework. What made that conversation work? She did not feel threatened. Did not feel anything but loved. We can do that. And guess what? It doesn't cost nothing. It costs us nothing. You don't even have to go to church to love someone. You can try starting with me. Here's another thing you can do. You can support the GR. You're going to be hearing about Moses Carter this weekend. You're going to be hearing about what's happening in Africa. You may be hearing what's happening in Southeast Asia with the GR. You guys have proven by your presence and your substance time and time again how much you want this gospel to go out. All the times that we can say thank you, kind of really feels a bit meaningless to us, because it's incredibly humbling. I want to say thank you to you guys for supporting us the way you have, and in advance, because you'll be supporting more. I know that. It's just, it seems to be your hearts. The gospel is not about becoming self-empowering. It's about becoming self-aware. The gospel is not about becoming self-empowering, but it's about becoming self-aware, and that in turn leads us to become self-stabilizing. I don't have to pray for wisdom. I don't have to pray for help in this situation, because when I'm following my heart and I'm self-aware, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know that I am this admixture, I know that I am this amalgam, I know that I am this totally new creation, never existed before I was born, and instead, the Spirit that God gave me, it says in Psalms, the Spirit will go back to the God who gave it. The Spirit that God gave me has somehow become not fused, but amalgama. We don't have the language. We are one. And when we become aware of that and the incredible potential, we become self-stabilized. I'm not going to say that. I've just written down here, becoming saved is less about what we are doing than what we are not doing. We know that in Christianity it was a guilt-based behavior modification system. It was a guilt-based behavior modification system. The gospel, by comparison, is an automatic, grace-based, internal guidance system. Follow your heart. Follow your heart, friends. There is only one thing we need to do, and I've written down here, it's a CPR of the gospel. Think for yourself. Don't think by yourself. Remember to rest. Live to love. And follow your heart.